We are very excited to welcome back Dr. Ann Corwin, and this morning she actually has brought her partner with her. So I'm going to introduce both of them, and then they're going to piggyback, go back and forth. So known to many as the parenting doctor, Dr. Corwin has made her life's work to develop practical parenting programs for parents and children. She has a PhD in marriage, family, and child therapy, a master's degree in education, and several decades of experience in parenting consulting and child development education. Dr. Ann helps parents learn to help themselves, so we all can relate to that need, through workshops, consulting sessions, TV and radio appearances, speaking. She has fun DVDs and books, and a big thing she's here to tell us about today. Dr. Ann grew up in the Midwest and has a very close-knit family. She has two children and a husband of 35 years. And she's joined today by her partner, Karen Lombardo. And Karen has her MA in clinical psychology with an emphasis in marriage and family therapy and a specialty in narrative psychology. So that's exciting. She worked in Northern California school system as an elementary counselor and aided in developing programs that focused on creating a positive school culture through the narrative approach. And so we can kind of relate because we're talking about embracing our story. And so she's going to have a story to tell us today. They've worked together over the past 5 years and have developed a program to help us learn specific ways to teach children how to deal with their feelings. So we're excited to have them here. Please help me in welcoming Dr. Ann Corwin and Karen Lombardo.
Thank you. Okay, are we good? Good. Good morning, everybody. How are you? Good. Some of you may recognize me from being here before. How many of you guys have heard me speak before? Okay. So hopefully this won't be boring this morning. I'm going to try to liven it up a little bit. I came here, I believe it was last year, and I talked to you a little bit about emotional literacy. You guys remember that? Some of you remember? Anyone remember what I talked about last year? Any little nugget that you gleaned from me talking about last year? Can anybody think? Yeah, something you remembered. The big D in disappointment. Good for you. That's great. Anybody else? Yeah.
Dealing with feelings.
Dealing with feelings and how to deal with feelings. Okay. Yeah.
The color, emotion.
The colors that are associated with feelings. Awesome. You guys are good students. I love it. Okay, so what I'm going to do today is I'm going to give you a little bit of a refresher of what we talked about last year. The exciting thing is I actually now have specific tools that I can actually give you in order to teach emotional literacy. Remember, emotional literacy is exactly the same as reading literacy. How many of you guys taught your kids their ABCs or are in the process of doing that? Teaching them their ABCs. Why do you do that? Why are you teaching them their ABCs? Why are you teaching them letters? Anybody? So they can read, right. And the reason that we want them to read is so that they do what? They're more successful in school and in their social life, right? We want our children to be successful. So no one in this room, I'm sure, said to themselves, you know, I'm not sure I need to take the time to teach them their letters and how to read. I'm not sure my children really need to know how to read. No one even questions that because we know how important it is to make sure that our kids can communicate with others on an academic level and socially. Well, emotional literacy is exactly the same thing. And here's what I think is happening across the country, is that we as parents are trying to put together a pretty complicated puzzle. Parenting is a puzzle. I've got to make sure my kids are safe. I've got to make sure I get them rides where they need to go. I got to make sure I teach them how to read. I got to make sure they don't get too much technology. I've got to make sure that my husband, our families, are really involved with raising this child. I've got to make sure that they're kind to the neighbors. I've got to make sure they don't have a tantrum in the grocery store. All these pieces to this puzzle, we're trying desperately to make sure that we coordinate all that and being kind of the super moms, right? Making sure we're everything to everybody and also doing the best thing for our kids. Well, one of the things I think that is the major missing piece to that parenting puzzle is actually taking the time to teach your children about the way they feel. Because the reality is kids behave because of the way they feel. If you don't get anything else out of this morning, kids behave because of the way they feel. I have parents call me all the time and say, well, I just want my child to stop doing that. Well, the reality is you can't change your child's behavior until you understand what's driving the behavior, and that's their feeling. For those of you that weren't here the last time, I'm going to refresh your memory for just a second about brain development. This isn't just a psychological talk. This is actually a biological talk about what is happening in terms of the function of your child's brain. Kids have a very powerful emotional brain. Well, we do too as adults. We have very powerful emotional brain. Our emotional brain is the most powerful part of our brains. The neurotransmitters are those chemicals that push information to the rest of our brain about the way we feel, mad, sad, happy, excited, whatever it is. Those neurotransmitters fire faster, last longer, and are more efficient than any other messages we get in our brain. So if I'm feeling sad about something, that is what is going to be the first thought that I'm going to have. Not, oh, should I cry in response to maybe my sadness? It's that I will feel the sadness first, because feelings come first. So how many of you guys, I'll ask you this question, those of you that have been here before know that I always try to talk with you, rather me talking at you and giving you information so that we all learn together. So how many of you guys have sat down with your kids and said, okay, kids, guess what? There's 15 emotions. Every single emotion has a color. Every single emotion has a definition. I'm going to tell you what the definition is. I'm going to tell you when those feelings might come. I'm going to tell you how strong the feeling might be. I'm going to tell you what behavior you're doing now in response to your feelings. And then I'm going to teach you some other ways to deal with the way that you feel. How many of you guys sat down with your kids and done that? No, not anyone in this room, and across the country, really, literally, none of us do that. We don't think to do that the way we think the other parts of that parenting puzzle, like the reading. If your child doesn't get math, are you going to go, you know, well, I'll teach you a little bit of it, but, you know, you're not really getting it right now, so let's just leave that aside. You don't really need to know math. Nobody does that. We actually will help our children acquire a skill, right? Because we know that if they don't have the skill, they're not going to thrive. They're not going to do really well. So emotional literacy is exactly what I'm going to teach you now, and that's exactly the things that I just said to you, about those 15 feelings. So I'm going to tell you how to do emotional literacy. Unless there's someone in the room that would like to volunteer from the last time I was here to tell the three steps of how you teach your kids about their feelings. Anybody remember the three steps that we talked about the last time I was here? Anyone remember those? Even one of them that you can think of. Okay, not quite sure. Kids learn best by repetition, so do we. So I'm going to repeat it for you, okay? So here are the steps. The first step to teaching emotional literacy is identifying and defining a feeling, okay? That's the very first step we have to do. So you have to pick a feeling, and anyone, just throw out a feeling that you'd like me to talk about.
Frustration.
Okay. So frustration is a feeling that, who gets frustration? Who do you think gets frustration?
Everybody.
Everybody, exactly. That's the right answer. What would you say the definition of frustration is? Anybody, if you're going to talk to your child, they're 3, they're 4, they're 2.5, how would you describe frustration to them? They say, well, mommy, what's that? What's frustration? You probably tell your kids they're frustrated, right? You might tell them, but how would you define it for them? Anybody, what would you think if you were sitting with your child? It's not all that easy to do the definition, so that's why it's good to kind of brainstorm about it. Yeah, what would you say?
The outcome is different than what you were intending.
The outcome is different than what you were intending. That is an awesome definition that every single person in this room can understand because we're adults and we're abstract thinkers. But now for a second, let's go down to the level of a 3-year-old. A 2.5, a 4-year-old, or a little older than that, elementary school kids. How would you use that definition, but then let's say it in a little bit different way for a child that's younger? How do you think you do that? Yeah?
Something
Something didn't turn out the way you wanted it to. That's right. That's the unintended thing. Now, that is a really good definition for the feeling of disappointment. Disappointment is things didn't turn out the way I thought they were going to turn out. But let's back up a little bit and think for a second. Frustration. See how hard this is? Now imagine I'm 2.5, I'm 3, I'm 4, I'm 5, I'm 6. If we're having a hard time defining what frustration is, imagine what our kids are feeling. They have no idea how to define exactly what's going on in their lives. They can't even do it. So the very first step is something that is difficult to do. So I think you had a suggestion. You want it to work and it won't. Love ya. High five. Well, don't you guys? Don't you get that? You want it to work, but it doesn't. That's a fantastic definition. So we're definitely rolling it into something that we know young children can get that. Yeah, you had it. You're stuck. That's another great definition of frustration. That is awesome. So we know we've got to define what frustration is, and you guys can come up with what frustration is once you think about it. Well, we've developed a project that Karen and I have been working on for the last 5 years, and it's called Pocket Full of Feelings. I probably mentioned it the last time I was here, but I didn't have the pocket full of feelings. I was just talking to you about the pocket full of feelings. So I'll show you for a second how this works. This is now your pocket full of feelings. What we know is that kids need to have to know where the feeling is, to touch it and feel it. You know, if you go to Webster's Dictionary, which I know is rather antiquated to look for a definition, but because everyone else goes to Wikipedia, right? But the definition of a feeling is a vague awareness. Now, are you guys all clear on what a feeling is? Right? You got it, right? You're like totally clear. If someone says a vague awareness, oh yeah, I get it. No, it's really tough to identify. So we want kids to be able to touch feelings and feel feelings and know where they are. So we have these POFs. These POFs are owls, and all of the POFs, they're in their pocket here. So I'll use your example. Okay, let's just go through exactly what you'd like to do. So we want to look through here, and we want to find frustrated. Frustrated is a deep purple. That's frustration. And if I were to pass this around, you'd see his little face that shows that, you know what, I'm pretty stuck. I'm trying something and it's not working very well. So you actually can, when you're identifying a feeling for your child, you can actually hand it to him. My feeling is somewhere. This is what I've got. And it's right here in my pocket. Okay, so we now have a definition of frustration. We know that everybody has frustration. The reason it is important to make sure that your children know that everyone has frustration, because sometimes we have the tendency, even as adults, that if you have a feeling, you think you're the only one, number one, and you think something might be wrong with you because you have the feeling. Anyone ever, you know, have that kind of experience? And we, unfortunately, inadvertently, because I'm a parent too, we have a tendency to tell our kids, don't have that feeling. How many of you guys have ever been in a situation where your young child is meeting up with someone that they've met before a million times, maybe someone here at the church or someone in your neighborhood, and your little four-year-old, your two-year-old will start to hide behind your leg, or they'll put their head, you know, nestle it right here in your shoulder and they won't look. Hey, say hi to Sally. You know Sally. You've met Sally so many times before. Don't be shy. So we tell our kids, don't be, right? We tell them that they should not be. But the reality is the strongest part of their brain is their emotional brain. You can't not be shy. It's impossible. You can't do it. You can't wake up in the morning and say, you know, I think today, no matter what situation I'm in, I'm not going to be shy. You can't get up in the morning and say, I am not going to be frustrated. I am leaving frustration behind. I'm going to leave it right on the counter, and I'm not going to be frustrated by anything. And then, of course, when you're on your way to work and you're late, you hit every red light. right? So here we, now we have it. We are frustrated. So the idea is not so much that your children, we tell our kids, don't have this feeling. We tell them you are going to have it. And by the way, so does everybody else. There isn't anyone that doesn't have feelings. Everybody does. There's nothing wrong with you. The next part of this first step in emotional literacy, or teaching your kids about their feelings, is to tell them when it comes. This is what I do with young kids. I go, sometimes frustration will just tap you on the shoulder, just ever so lightly, and you'll go like that, and it'll just go away, and you won't even feel the frustration, and you're like, oh, I was good with that. Other times, frustration is going to put its hands on your back and push you so far forward that you're going to fall over. You're going to fall over. That's how strong frustration can be. So it comes at different times, and no one ever knows. It actually can be a surprise to you. I thought I was going to be able to do this, and all of a sudden, I'm stuck. I can't do it. I know with me, a lot of that happens with technology. I don't know about you guys, but when it works, it's fantastic. But when I get into a window and I don't know how I got there and I'm trying to be somewhere else, that's really frustrating. So you have to tell them everybody gets it. It's going to be really, really strong sometimes. And sometimes you're just going to, you know, not even know that it's really even there and you're able to do just fine. That's the first step of emotional literacy, of Pocketful of Feelings. The next step is actually trying to put together, what behavior does my child do? Connecting behaviors with feelings. What behavior does my child usually do when they have this emotion that is pushing them forward? So anybody, what behavior can you say that your child has? And usually it's a behavior that we're not wild about. What behavior does your child have that you can name maybe the feeling that's pushing that behavior to happen? So let's try to make those connections, anybody. My child does this when they're feeling that. Anybody, anyone have an idea? Yeah.
So my child will grab on to something really, really tight all his life.
Okay, so your child will grab onto whatever he wants if he thinks it's going to be taken away. And how old is he?
He's almost 3.5.
Almost 3.5. So an almost 3.5-year-old is going to be grabby and usually couple the word mine, 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 right, with whatever it is that they're doing that. A 3-year-old will do that because the number one job for a 3-year-old is to actually develop autonomy. They're trying to figure out who they are, and they do that by what they own. So they literally will grab everything so that all behavior asks a question. So the question the 3.5-year-old is asking you, what belongs to me? What is exclusively mine and what's yours? They're trying to do what's called differentiation. Tell the difference between is this mine or is that yours? So they'll actually try to identify everything. And feelings are definitely expressed through children's bodies. They always use their body to express themselves. It's why they flop and drop. It's why they do tantrums. Usually it's in the grocery store when everyone that you know from your neighborhood happens to be in the store at the same time that they're having the tantrum, right? They flop, they drop, they cry, they grab, they'll just do everything they can possibly do with their body. They look like they're possessed. They're completely on the ground, right? And then when they're done, they give you a nice hug and they're like, love you, Mom, ready, pick me up. And you're kind of like, are you kidding me? You just did this in the grocery store, and now you're like, okay, what happened with that? Well, what happened with that is your child just went to the gym. They just went to the gym. They released endorphins, the natural body morphine. They just had the best workout they've ever had. They are feeling good now. If they were frustrated before because of either a developmental task like your 3.5-year-old is trying to accomplish, they're frustrated. So what do you do with this? Well, if I use my body, they know inherently if I move, it's going to help this frustration go away. It's going to actually have it fade. In our Pocketful of Feelings parent guide, what we do is we actually have a page where we show all of these puffs on top of waves, because feelings are like waves. It's just like the wave in the ocean. And here in Southern California, it's pretty easy for us to make that analogy, right? They've seen a wave come and build and build and build and then break and then always go to shore, right? They know how what happens with waves. Well, that's part of you talking to them about them moving from one mood to the other. Your frustration is just like it's on a wave. It's going to come, and sometimes it's going to be so big, but it'll always fade away, and it'll always go to shore, because feelings always do go away. Now imagine I'm three. I can't tell time yet. I might have this, and I'm pretty sure it's going to last for 3 or 4 years, because I have no sense of time. I don't know how long it's going to last. So if I said to you guys right now, you're going to have a feeling, and a very intense feeling, and I am not going to tell you when it goes away, most people in this room would say, don't do that to me. That is very difficult for me to handle. One of the major things that people say about sadness when they lose someone is they ask someone else, someone loving, someone supporting them, how long is this feeling going to last? We say that to each other, right? How long am I going to have this? Now, if I'm a young child, preschool, elementary school, they do not know how long that's going to last. So if they can feel it and touch it and put it in a pocket and know that it's like a wave, oh yeah, my mom says this is going to go away, that really helps them put it in perspective. And now your kids understand themselves better. They actually know why they're doing what they're doing. So that's making that connection between the behavior and the feeling. And the last part, step three, anybody? Step three of pocket full of feelings, emotional literacy would be what? Someone said it already. They learned it from the last time I was here. That there's a color associated. Awesome. The last part is dealing with the way that you're feeling. It's not so much that I try to get rid of the feeling. The way we try to get rid of feelings, the only way that you cannot have a feeling profoundly affect your behavior is through drugs and alcohol and any other addictive behavior. I work for a MOPS group, a church up in Orange County. And I work at, my mission is to work with incarcerated moms. And the 99% of the incarcerated moms are there, unfortunately, because of drug and alcohol abuse. And what's the one thing they're trying desperately to don't have? Feelings. Because if I have a feeling, then I have to learn how to deal, and I frankly don't know how to do it. I actually just used this pocket and all of these POFs. These are called the feeling POFs. I put them in the pocket. I took it to the incarcerated moms group a couple of weeks ago, and all I did was ask these moms to pick out a feeling. Don't look at it, because they wanted to select one, right? They're like, oh, no, I don't want to talk about that one. Right away, what does that tell you? If I don't want to talk about this one. That's tough for me. That's what your kids are going to be able to do, is be able to pick out these POF feelings and then talk about what they're doing, but then how they can deal with it better. And it was pretty profound, I have to tell you, these incarcerated moms and the things they were telling me about their kids and how they felt about being separated from their children. And it's a great ministry work that MOPS International does. I'm so proud to be a part of it. So the last step is dealing with the way that you feel. I told you the slogan the last time I was here, and I'll tell it to you again. This is what I'd love you guys to start doing with your kids when you pick them up from school today, or pick them up from childcare or whatever. They're in the car, maybe they're crying, maybe they're having a tough time, even if they aren't. Here's the slogan. Feelings are real. There's something we feel. What matters the most is the way that we deal. So feelings are real, something we feel. What matters the most is the way that we deal. So instead of telling your child, don't stop crying. This isn't a time you should be crying. Don't be mad. Don't be frustrated. Don't hit your brother. You know, it's all those don'ts, don'ts, don'ts that we all do because we're trying to obviously to teach our children. We're looking for teachable moments all the time with our kids, right? We're trying to find those moments. And the moments actually come they should come less with the behavior and more with always looking for the feeling. What could be driving that behavior? And what could I teach my child to do instead? So we know if your kids are frustrated, they might bonk their brother, right? What do your kids do when they're frustrated? Since we're really focusing on frustration this morning. So what do your kids do when they're frustrated? They grab onto things. Anything else? They throw toys. They throw stuff. What else do they do? They cry. They bite. Okay. Whine. Absolutely. Yeah. Big whining issues. Definitely with frustration. So you got all of those behaviors when they're feeling frustration. So how do you think we could teach them to deal better with the way that they feel? Because frustration is going to come, right? We've already established that. And the reason they can't deal very well now is because the other part of their brain, this prefrontal cortex behind your forehead, is where you regulate your behavior. In young kids, I call it their uh-oh. It's like, I decide I'm not going to do that because, uh-oh, I might get into trouble. That is the weakest part of their brains. It's not developed, not functioning at its highest level until the age of 25. It's why you can't rent a car till you're 25. Can't do it because the car rental agencies are like, well, they're 18, they just graduated from high school, and they're on, you know, their spring break. Forget it. I'm not letting them use one of our cars. They know that they can't weigh and measure very well. Now imagine the ages of your kids. It's not that they want to push your buttons. I hear that all the time from parents. I just know my child's so smart. They just, like, totally know what they're doing. The reality is that your kids are all very smart. But the way their brains function is different at different developmental stages. So I'm not talking about intelligence here now. I'm talking about what they can actually, how they can actually use their brains to deal with their really strong emotional system. How are they going to do that? So we have to teach them different ways to deal with the way that they feel. So what would you like your kids to do if they were frustrated instead of all the things you guys have brought up? Throwing, biting, kicking, whining. What would you like your child to do when they're frustrated? Remember, you can tell that I'm not asking you to actually get rid of their frustration. I'm telling you, they got the frustration. Now, what could you teach your child to do? To say I'm frustrated. Absolutely. We want him to say that I'm frustrated. What else could we teach him to do?
Take a deep breath.
Absolutely. We know they want to use their bodies. We know when you do take a big deep breath, you actually get oxygen to the working muscles, and it really helps them with their body. Music is one of the best ways to help your kids deal with the way that they feel. Every single person in this room, no matter how old your kids are, should have a feel-good song for your kids right now. If you don't have one, help them pick one. And when they're at home and they're frustrated, boom, punch on that song. They start to associate, I listen to music when I'm frustrated, and that will really help them. They've got to move. You know, I don't know about you guys, but when I'm frustrated, I don't just sit there calmly like this with my frustration. What might I do as an adult? I might do this with my fist. I might hold my teeth, clench my teeth together tightly. I am trying to work through frustration. So we've got to let our kids use their bodies. And Pocketful of Feelings in this parent guide, that's exactly what we do, is we will give you a million different ways to teach your kids how to deal with the way that they feel. All these alternatives that you guys are coming up with inherently, but how do I do that? One of the things is with actually using these POFs and actually letting them hold on to their feeling. When I started on this project, it was over 5 years ago now, and Karen Lombardo, who's gonna come and talk to us right now for a couple of seconds, she and I met. She's a mom, I'm a mom. I didn't know it at the time, but she has a very similar background to my background. I didn't know that she had studied psychology. But she came to me as a mom, and she's gonna kind of tell you her story of how we actually decided that we wanted to talk to mothers, in particular families, about how you can teach this really important tool to your kids. So Karen's going to talk for a second about that.
Hi, so I'm definitely not a professional speaker like Anne, and I do feel so privileged to have the opportunity to partner with her on this exciting project, but really, like she said, Pocket Full of Feelings to me is really just the packaged version of something that helped me at home so dramatically that I wanted to share it with every single mom that was just like me in the same position. And when I met Anne, I was... it was about 6 years ago, so I had kids that were small. Now I have a 12 and 10-year-old. And I was just having a behavioral issue with my daughter that I couldn't seem to fix. I couldn't change it. I mean, it wasn't a huge deal, but it was the same thing that she kept doing over and over again that I just...
Okay. Yeah, feedback.
Sorry.
I couldn't figure out what to do with it. And I did have a master's in psychology, and I had worked in elementary schools with other children, and I'd been very successful in helping them with solutions. So I was frustrated. I thought I was going to be the perfect parent. I thought it would be so easy for me to have two kids, and you know, I would raise them up without any issues. So it was really, it was hard for me to come to the point where I realized I needed help. I couldn't do it on my own. And what was happening with my daughter is that she wasn't your typical girl that everyone told me about that was the nurturing mommy who took care of the baby. I mean, she wanted nothing to do with the baby brother. She was very, she loved him, but she didn't know how to deal with him. She wanted all of my attention. And if she didn't have it, if I was nursing or doing anything, giving the baby any attention, it was upsetting to her. And that went on and on and on. And it just transferred into different behaviors. She was mean with her words. She used her body to hurt, you know, kick or, you know, mildly hurt other people in situations. And it was always the situations like when I was opening my birthday presents, that's when she would have a tantrum. When her brother was opening his birthday presents or planning his party, that's when she would get upset. When her brother had a new backpack for school, she found some reason to poke at him and, you know, make that experience kind of miserable. So I finally called Anne. I told her what was going on with my daughter, Bridget. And I can remember where I was. I was in my master bedroom closet, and I was having the phone conversation with her while I was getting ready for the day. And she never met my daughter, but I told her what was going on. And I said, you know, this is what's going on. I cannot seem to get it to change. This is what I've done. We go in time out. We do the same thing over again. We talk and we lay in bed, and we have all this wonderful time together, and it happens all over again. It happens again and again, and I don't know what to do. And she basically said to me, I think that your daughter has envy. And I thought about it, and I thought, that makes sense. You know, why didn't I think of that? I mean, I had thought of it, actually. But then she said, and envy's causing her to act out in these ways over and over again. And I want you to start talking to her about envy and what it's getting her to do and what it feels like. I was like, oh, okay. So she asked if I would meet her because she and her daughter, Beth, had been working on this idea that feelings come before behaviors. And she had made a huge chart, Beth, for Anne to go and talk with. It was about a 6-foot burlap chart. It had 20 different feelings on it with these colored painted bears in each pocket. And she said, I want you to use this. Take it home and use it and see what you think. Talk about feelings. So I'm like, okay. So I took the chart home. I laid it out on my dining room table because it was so big I had nowhere else to put it in my house. And when my kids came home, they automatically started going over and asking about it. So that was just the first step. I really didn't do anything with it at that point. I just thought, this is interesting. But when I did have an opportunity, when my daughter had a tantrum, and she was up in her room and she had calmed down, I decided I'd try it out. So I went and grabbed, at that time it was a bear, I grabbed the green bear, and I went upstairs and I sat with her on the bed. And she kind of knew it was coming. We were going to have a long talk about what she'd done wrong, what she could do instead, and we were just going to go over it all again. But I didn't. I said to her, Bridget, you know, I want to talk to you about something different, and I think this is really going to help us work through this behavior that keeps getting you in trouble. She just looked at me, and I showed her the green bear, and I said, what you're feeling is called envy. She just looked at me, and I said, that feeling is like you want something that someone else has, or you think it's not fair, or you have resentment towards somebody because they have something. And she started crying right when I told her this. She was 8 years old. And so I gave her a big hug, and I said, it's a perfectly normal feeling, and we all have this feeling. And it just happened to be that she had that feeling so strongly. I didn't have that feeling strongly. That's just not one of my feelings that comes to me. So I couldn't relate to her, but now I could help her understand what was going on with her. And she, the reason why she cried and I cried is because she was feeling it, and all I was doing is naming it for her. I was giving her a reason. I was giving her the understanding. And when I told her, and I took it further, and I did that because of my work, I sort of knew what to do with it just from my training. And I said, what envy gets you to do is it gets you to be mean when somebody has something that you don't want. It gets you to do this. It gets you to do that. And she was 100% able to identify with it. And so to make a long story short, Anne and I met back in the parking lot, and I told her how amazing just this little piece of information was for me and how it had changed my daughter and my interaction, and it ended up really changing my daughter's life. She's said to me at times, Mommy, you've helped me so much that I hope you could share this with all the kids in the world, because she still has envy. And she's 12 years old, and she's in seventh grade. But she knows exactly what it feels like. She knows when it gets the best of her. She knows when she has a handle on it. And it doesn't cause her to act mean anymore. It doesn't cause her to get in trouble. It still comes. It still feels really bad. And sometimes she might say something, but she knows exactly how to take it back and how to get back to, you know, where it came from. And it really has made her taken away the shame. She hasn't gone down the path of feeling worse about herself. Our relationship has improved. And I basically said to Anne, I didn't know how helpful it would be because it had only been working for 3 weeks, but I said, you need to share this with every single parent, because if it's helping me, it's going to help someone else. And so she basically said to me, well, do you want to do it with me? And I said, okay. And we basically have been working together for these 4 years to bring this concept to moms just like you in a fun and playful way. So thanks for listening.
Okay, I know that our time is running short. We don't have too much time here with you, but if I have a little bit of time, you guys can ask us questions about this or any other question that you want to. Remember that this is kind of like Vegas. What's said in this room stays in this room, so you want to feel safe to ask a question about your particular family or, you know, your neighbor's kids. If you don't really want to talk about your kids, that's okay too. Karen is a little too humble to tell you this, but part of our Pocket Full of Feelings package is a children's book, and one side of the page tells a scenario about what it might be happening, and the next page tells you how to deal with the way that you feel. And we have a wise owl, Poffer, and Poffer, actually, he has his own pocket too, and he's the one that tells you how to deal with the way that you feel. So you can put frustration in here, and, you know, this is Poffer. Karen actually wrote this book. She's never written a book before in her life. She wrote this book off of real-life scenarios. So either it happened to her kids or some of her neighbor's kids, and so she wrote all about it, and it's, you know, I'm prejudiced, but it's pretty cool. So any questions you guys have?